We are pleased this afternoon to have Brother John Galbraith as our devotional speaker. Brother Galbraith is a well-known lecturer and a favorite youth and fireside speaker. A native of Raymond, Alberta, Canada, Brother Galbraith's interest in international events was strengthened during his service as a missionary in France and Belgium. He returned from his mission to complete his bachelor's and master's degrees at Brigham Young University. In 1968, Brother Galbraith joined the Ricks College faculty to teach French, religion, family relations, and history. He has served as chairman of the Division of Humanities, chairman of the Foreign Language Department, and was honored in 1982 with the Distinguished Teaching Award. Brother Galbraith presently teaches in our Foreign Language Department. From 1996 to 1999, Brother Galbraith served as the president of the Russia Novosibirsk Mission, only the second president to serve in that remote Siberian city. Accompanying him was his wife, Carol, and two of their 10 children. Brother Galbraith has served as a counselor in the college fifth stake presidency, as a bishop, as a high counselor, and as the stake mission president for the Sugar City Stake. Brother Galbraith has lived and studied abroad, both in Jerusalem and in Paris. And his international ventures are many, and he has spent his summers as a tour guide with groups to Mexico, Europe, Israel, Egypt, and to Russia. Following Brother Galbraith's devotional remarks today, the benediction will be offered by Brother Tom Thornton, a freshman from Rexburg, Idaho, and a return missionary from the Philippine San Pablo Mission. Brother Galbraith.
So after 36 hours of airplanes and airports, you have finally arrived in Siberia for your mission. Welcome, elders and sisters. Today you begin to live your dream. I'm going to talk to you collectively, and then I'll visit with each of you individually. Elders and sisters, the Russian language is a challenge. Remember that righteousness will help you to learn more than your intellect will help you to learn. The language will be a challenge, but you will overcome it. Now, let me tell you the secret of great missionary work. It has nothing to do with missions, but rather with temples. Many of you were misinformed before coming on a mission. You thought that the issue was a mission, and that somewhere in all of the preparations, you would find time to go to the temple. That's not so, elders and sisters. That's not the priority. You see, first we go to the temple and make special covenants with our Father in heaven. Then the mission field becomes a proving ground. Out in the mission field, we test ourselves against our temple covenants. And then all the rest of our lives, we validate those tests. Of course, one doesn't have to go on a mission in order to be able to have a marvelous experience in life and prove himself. But oh, what a wonderful opportunity it is if you can go. It's a perfect controlled setting where we can make wonderful progress. I want to take the next 10 minutes, elders and sisters, and talk to you about what I term the temple template. Things that we learn that will make you a great, valiant missionary here in the Lord's service. The temple template. First of all, you probably guessed it, it's obedience. Just as Christ was unyieldingly obedient to his Father, so must we be unyieldingly obedient to Christ. The mission rules will help teach you obedience. We have a rule, for example, to be in by 9:30 in the evening. I've seen so many missionaries rushing down the block as hard as they can run and through the vacant lot and up six stories. there huffing and puffing to be able to look at one another with a big smile and say, 9:30, Elder, we made it. We have a mission rule that you leave your apartments at 10:30. Elders and sisters, that doesn't mean 10:35. It doesn't mean 10:40. We want you out precisely at 10:30. And for whom are you strictly obedient? For me, your mission president? For your parents? For your stake president? Don't do it for us. You do it because of the temple template. It's the covenants. We do it for God. And the closer you get to knowing Him, the easier it will be to serve Him. Don't do it for me, elders and sisters. Do it for the Lord. Every man of God, every prophet, from Adam right down to President Hinckley, has learned to be obedient to God's laws. We keep them because we want to. You see, forced obedience is not the issue. The communists knew all about forced obedience, but it didn't help anybody. It's glad obedience, willing obedience, that becomes the issue. You see, many are called, but few choose to be absolutely obedient. If you choose to do so, I promise you that you will be empowered in ways that many missionaries will never understand. Obedience is the first law of heaven. It's part of the temple template. Number two, sacrifice. Obedience and sacrifice often go hand in hand. Elders and sisters, you have already sacrificed much to come here in Siberia on your mission. You've sacrificed a lot. You've given up your schooling for a couple of years. You've given up some of your scholarships, music or academic or sports scholarships. You've given up a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You've given up mod clothing and the way of life and much of the music that you particularly enjoy. And now you're here. We will ask more of you in this sacrifice. We'll expect a lot because the Lord does. You see, our temple covenants require it of us. There's going to be days when you tracked more hours than you were ready for. We figured out, elders and sisters, that it takes about 2,500 doors to find a convert to the church in Siberia. There will be a lot of people who abuse you, who tell you off, who want to fight with you, who spit on you. Sometimes you will be thrown in jail. On extra cold days, we call it those days, three-layer days. Those are the days when you wear everything you own. It will get 40 below zero and you'll go tracting all day. And your fingers and toes will get numb and you'll have little white circles on your noses and your earlobes. It's okay. We'll do it for the Lord. Our temple covenants require it of us. Remember, first obedience and then sacrifice. They're usually not out of order. That's the order of things. And brothers and sisters, the prophets all knew it. Adam knew it well. When he and Eve left the Garden of Eden, immediately they were commanded to make a sacrifice and they built an altar and were sacrificing. We read about it in Moses chapter 5, verse 5, but we don't have time to turn to that. We'll turn to some other scriptures, ladies. Just scribble it down. Moses 5 and 5. An angel of the Lord comes to them and says, Adam, what are you doing? And he says, I don't know. But I was told to build this altar and sacrifice, and that's what I'm going to do. That's right, Adam. First, obedience. And then we can teach you the power of sacrifice. This is in similitude of the only begotten of the Father who is full of grace and truth. And now Adam is taught the power of what we're teaching you. Sacrifice. No longer today animals. A broken heart, a contrite spirit, and we sacrifice those things that are not good for us. Abraham knew it well. You remember the story. You remember first was his obedience, and then he proved himself and was taught the power of real sacrifice. Number three of our temple templates. Number three, elders and sisters, will be very important to you. It is prayer. We learn to pray. We learn to pray in ways that we have not heretofore prayed. We find ourselves in prayer where we are less the subject of our prayers and we are including others. Prayer is a powerful process, and God hears our prayers. You will learn to pray with all your heart and soul, and many is the testimony meeting in Zone Conference when missionaries have stood up and said, "Elders and sisters, I promised the Lord that if he would help Sister Liena with her word of wisdom problem, there is nothing I would not do for him." I want you to know God hears those prayers. It is the prayer of faith. We'll talk more of it another day. Those prayers become terribly powerful. Another temple template. Faith. Many missionaries have come to me as their mission president and have said, "President, how do I get more faith? I just want to have that. I see other people with it, and I want to have greater faith. How do I go about that?" And I remind them that there is an equation, excuse me, a spiritual equation, in my opinion, helps us acquire more faith. We have already talked of it. Obedience plus sacrifice equals faith. There is no magic. Get about it. Be willing to be utterly and absolutely obedient and sacrificing for a cause, and the cause is Jesus Christ, and the faith in him will come. I believe that with all my heart and soul, and tell you that, elders and sisters, today. I have seen missionaries. Oh, we've got, some 60,000 of them out in the world, and all of them have not caught on that great faith is required to do God's work. I have interviewed many of the people who will be baptized, hundreds of them. And usually I ask them one question. Why? Why this time did you listen to the missionaries? Surely they have been by your door before. Why did you listen? The answer is often the same. Oh. As they talked on and presented themselves and they filled my doorway, I looked at them and said, "Who are these young men, these young women who stand here? My goodness, look at their countenance. Look at that elder. He really believes it. He believes what he's telling me. Would you come in? My name is Nelly." And the process begins. The faith, knowing good will come of it today, knowing that you're on the Lord's errand, knowing it. I believe there's such a thing as the eye of faith, the vision that faith gives you of what is going to happen today. Let me talk to you of the next temple template. Love and service, they go together. The more you serve them, the more you'll love them. Oh, they can be obnoxious. They can treat you poorly. They can tell you off. They can slap you. They can do other things. Love them. Forgive them. Christ taught us that way. And the more you serve them, the more you'll love them. And I promise you, elders and sisters, the harder it will be for you to say goodbye to them. You will find your last day of your mission something that is very, very difficult to part with those beloved people. Another day, I will talk to you of another temple template. Time will not permit. I can see you're tired. 36 hours has been a long time. I will talk to you about the law of consecration. It too is a temple template. It will go beyond simple sacrifice. It has kind of a dedication of self to a worthy cause, the cause of Jesus Christ in moving the work along. I will look forward to talking to you about it and promise you that you will become empowered because of covenants with our Father in heaven, the keeping of which unlocks doors in missionary work and sets a style and a pattern for the rest of your lives. I promise you that you will love your mission as you serve with all your heart. You must be able to speak the language. But notice, the language, learning the language, was not in the top five essential criteria to become a valiant, great missionary. And neither, by the way, was baptism. Enough of this for my missionaries, brothers and sisters at Ricks College. I believe there is not a better ground where you can prepare for the temple than here in this wonderful setting, this controlled setting of Ricks College. Remember, it is not enough to be temple worthy. We must get temple ready in everything that that includes. I have given you some steps that you can use to prepare yourself for covenant keeping. You've written them down. I commend them to you. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to address my remarks to those of you who have already served great missions and returned. I come today acting as though I were your mission president. I want to be serious with you. I closed up the Book of Mormon one cold Siberian morning. It was in the wintertime. And I closed up that book and asked, why? How can it be? Surely that cannot happen in our day. Let me share with you what I read. Would you turn to 3 Nephi, please, with me? 3 Nephi, I'm in chapter 4. And while you're finding it, let me give you the background. The Nephites have had a great problem with the Gadianton robbers. Christ is in the old world, even as they continue their work. And now these Gadianton robbers are about to overtake the Nephites, and because of divine intervention, they are spared and the Gadianton robbers are thrown off. I know all about Gadianton robbers in Russia. I know what they can do. And we pick up the story in verse 31. Follow with me, will you? And it came to pass that they did break forth all as one in singing and praising their God for the great thing which he had done for them, in preserving them from falling into the hands of their enemies. Verse 33, and their hearts were swollen with joy under the gushing out of many tears because of the great goodness of God in delivering them. Turn the page, would you? And now behold, there was not a living soul among all the people of the Nephites who did doubt in the least the words of that the holy prophets who had spoken. Verse 3 of chapter 5. Therefore, they did forsake their sins, all their sins, their abominations and their whoredoms, and did serve God with all diligence, day and night. They must have been so grateful, so excited. Turn the page in chapter 6, verse 4. And they began again to prosper and to wax great. Verse 5. And now there was nothing in all the land to hinder the people from prospering continually, except they should fall into transgression. And then we read the sad account of what happens next. And within a few verses, we pick up again in verse 14. And thus there became a great inequality in all the land, insomuch that the church began to be broken up. The church, not the enemy, the church began to be broken up. Verse 15. Now the cause of this iniquity of the people was this. Satan had great power under the stirring up of the people to do all manner of iniquity and to the puffing them up with pride, tempting them to seek for power and authority and riches and the vain things of the world. And verse 18, and now they did not sin ignorantly, for they knew the will of God concerning them, for it had been taught unto them. Therefore, they did willfully rebel against God. Can anything be sadder? And turn the page. Chapter 7, verse 8 is the epitaph. And thus, 6 years had not passed away since the more part of the people had turned from their righteousness, like a dog to his vomit, or like a sow to her wallowing in the mire. That morning in Russia, I was overcome and asked, how can that be? And the Holy Spirit whispered to me, President, it happens today. Just look at some of the missionaries. The other day, someone said to me, the returned missionaries take only from 2 to 6 months, and then they fall back about where they were before they went on their missions. I was offended at that. I do not believe it. I have seen too many missionaries who have been literally born again of the Spirit. They have served valiantly, and they're great elders and sisters. I do not believe that comment for the most part. However, brothers and sisters, some, too many, begin slowly slipping back to the way that they were. And it's time today I act as your mission president and remind you, be careful. Go back with me quickly, brothers and sisters, to chapter 4. Turn back. We just read it. Verse 31. And it came to pass that they did break forth all as one in singing and praising their God for the great thing which he had done for them. That was in our zone conferences. I mark it well. You were there, and you know. We did break forth in singing all as one. We did feel that great spirit. And verse 3-3, and the missionaries' hearts were swollen with joy unto the gushing out of many tears because of the great goodness of God in delivering them and their investigators. And you were there and you remember. And turn the page. And now there was not a living soul among all of the missionaries who did doubt in the least the words the holy prophets had spoken. And that is true. For those prophets were visiting us regularly in our missions. And we believed them. Every word. We hung on those words. And you remember it. And verse 3. Therefore, they did forsake all their sins and their abominations and their whoredoms, and did serve God with all diligence day and night. And I stand as your witness that you did abandon your whoredoms and your abominations, and you did serve God day and night. I know that. I was there too. And turn again to chapter 6, verse 4. And then you go home. And they, the missionaries, began to prosper and to wax great. And that is true. And the Lord was looking for excuses to bless you. He loves you and would do anything for you. And now there was nothing in all the land, verse 5, to hinder the missionaries from prospering continually, except they should fall into transgression. Verse 15, and now the cause of this iniquity of the missionaries was this. Satan had great power under the stirring up of the people to do all manner of iniquity, and to the puffing them up with pride, tempting them to seek for power and authority and riches and the vain things of the world. And verse 18, the killer. Now they did not sin ignorantly, for they knew the will of God concerning them, for it had been taught unto them. Therefore they did willfully rebel against God, and they don't want to call it that. I will one day stand as your witness and testify in your behalf or against you, but I will be summoned. And I will tell that you knew the law, and it had been taught to you because I was your mission president, and I was there. It's time, elders and sisters, to take stock of where you stand this very day. Are you where you should be? Are you doing what you should be doing? Would your mission president be hurt by what he'd see of you today? Have you rationalized and sloughed off some of the powerful resolves you made in the mission field? Have you forgotten how we warned you that the people in the grand and spacious building who cause you to be embarrassed when you partake of the fruit are not the enemy? Had they been the enemy, we could have borne it. But rather men in white shirts and ties who too have served missions of their own. And now they say to you, oh, come on, get off your high hat. We've all been on missions too. There's lots worse videos than this one. Come on. Get over here and watch it. And you ashamedly walk away from the fruit of the tree and go partake. And I tell you, you know better. Get the earring out of your ear, elders. Quit using the kind of language. You have been taught better. And the Lord expects more of you. The temple template. Remember it? It was meant forever, not for the mission. That was never God's plan. Why are you embarrassed to sup on the fruits of your righteous labors? Do you insist on returning to your old ways like a dog to his vomit or a sow to her wallowing in the mire? And if such is the case, you can shout your ignorance to the world. Shout it from the housetops if you will. But in the end, you must whisper the truth to me. You knew better. Your newly acquired acquaintances may not know it, but I know it, and you know it, and God knows it. You knew better. I plead with you. It's time to get back on track, and I don't mean tomorrow, today. It's not hard. Just do it. Remember, elders and sisters, how I asked you to write me in 6 months and report on the following indicators. Number one, you promised to write me and tell me, do you still pray night and day? And what are the quality of your prayers? Night and day. Number two, do you still, after 6 months, read your scriptures daily? It's an indicator. Number three, how often do you attend the temple each month? Especially if you live within the shadows of a temple, as we do here at Ricks College. Do you go regularly and renew those temple covenants? Number four, are you faithful in your church call? Are you looking for reasons why you can do it or how you can get out of it? Get some roots, elders and sisters. Stay home. Don't leave and go back home when you've got a church call. Do it. Be dependable. It's an expectation, and you remember it well. I've always told the missionaries, I'll tell how you're doing. You tell me how your home teacher's going, and I'll tell you how you're doing as a returned missionary. I think there's a correlation. I told you that you'd have a temporary letdown after your mission, but that you would be on track if you could give the right answers to those indicators that I have mentioned. I can think of others. What are you doing in compromising situations? What are you listening to? We had a different kind of music in the mission field. Have you given way to that completely? And what about those videos? Do you allow them in your home, wherever you are? Or are you very, very carefully selective? You see, brothers and sisters, it's time, now, today. And you young sisters, you can be such a powerful blessing in the lives of those going on missions, even if you're not planning to yourself right now, and those who have returned. Our Ricks College commitments here and our covenants as we prepare in the temple demand it of us. And I know that that is true. As your surrogate mission president, I declare it unto you. Brothers and sisters, this gospel is true. I know that, but I know it. It is true. It is the only true church of Jesus Christ on this earth. And I would not say that for anything in this world if I did not believe it with all my heart and soul. Not in my darkest moments, my blackest moments, do I believe otherwise. And I bear you that testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.